Did I get that right? Yeah, I got it now. Sorry about that. I hope that most of you were here or have been here the last couple of weeks. The series that Josh started a couple of weeks ago about mental disorders, and that Chris spoke about last week. The openness with which they have shared their struggles and their battles, and others like Nick and Darcy, and maybe the openness surprises you, but I hope the reality doesn't, because all of us are broken people. All of us are broken, maybe in different ways and in different places, but we're all broken people, and we need the healing and the saving of our Lord Jesus Christ, every one of us. Today we're going to be looking at two passages of Scripture, one in the Psalms, Psalm 121. Psalm 121 is one of a group of Psalms from 120 through 134 that are known as Psalms or Songs of Ascent. They were a collection of psalms that the pilgrims and the folks that were traveling to Jerusalem for Passover or Pentecost or one of the holy days or the sacrifices would sing on their way to Jerusalem on the journey. Jerusalem was a city set on a hill. And any way that you might approach Jerusalem, you would be coming uphill. And that's why they're known as the Songs of Ascent. So let's read together. I'm going to be reading from the New American Standard, but it's so similar to the NEV. I don't think you'll have a problem with that. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. When we read that psalm, sometimes I think it's a bit confusing, because a lot of times when we read it, we think that what it's saying is that we're not going to have any trouble in this life. And we all know better. It's not saying, and those people that were in pilgrimage to Jerusalem were not expecting that there would not be trouble on the road. Quite the contrary. And what it says is God will keep you through it. God will keep you from the evil. God is our keeper. God keeps us. This world is full of trouble, if you didn't realize that. There's physical problems, sickness, and we're facing in the world that we live in today all kinds of turmoil, people slinging missiles at one another. There are things going on in the world that world wars have started for lesser things than what are going on right now. There's a lot of anxiety and fear all around us, and almost anywhere you look, whether it's the political situation or the economy or go on and on, the sickness and everything else that is a part of living in this world. But Jesus told us very specifically, in this world, you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. He has overcome this world. And so part of the issue has to do with where are we looking? And I appreciate so much this individual who is on the ascent to Jerusalem, and he is lifting his eyes to the hills. I'm a mountain boy. I'm from Virginia in the mountains. And I always thought of the mountains as a place of refuge, a place of safety. I loved being on the tops of the mountain. I always felt that I was in a safe place. Or down in the valleys where you were snuggled in the trout streams and fresh water and all of that. It was amazing. I moved to Florida, and Nancy and I had a daughter. And we went back to the mountains, and that was not a place of safety for her. She was accustomed to these wide open flat spaces down here, and she felt like everything was closing in on her up in the mountains. I have a son who's a Navy veteran, is retired submarine independent corpsman. Of all things, his place of safety is hundreds of feet below the surface of the ocean. So we find what we perceive to be safety in a lot of different places in a lot of different ways, but the reality is there is no safe place in this world. Job said that this world would have trouble as surely as sparks fly upward, and those troubles take all kinds of forms. For some of us, it is those kind of sicknesses. For some of us, it's addiction. And mental illness, and alcoholism, and we all have places in our minds, in our hearts, in our lives where we are broken. And so when this psalmist cries out, "Where will my help come from?" Where does yours come from? Do you, in fact, when you're in trouble, cry out to Jesus? Or do you find a substitute? All the substitutes that I've found have been poor substitutes, very disappointing substitutes. Promise everything and deliver nothing. Now, I don't know where you are this morning, and I don't know what it is that's causing you to cast about with anxiety and what it is that's causing you fear and uncertainty and that sort of thing. But I would encourage that you take a few minutes right now to think about that. Maybe share with your neighbor or the person that's sitting beside you or someone here in the audience what it is that's causing you fear. I really encourage that you look in the seat in front of you and maybe take out one of those prayer cards that was mentioned earlier, because there's something about sharing our burdens that makes them lighter. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my burden is light." It's light because he's carrying the bigger part of the load. So I would encourage that you share that burden with someone that's sitting with you or around you, and certainly that you would write that on a prayer card and turn it in. We have a prayer ministry here at the church, and I can guarantee you that someone tomorrow, if not sooner, will be praying over whatever it is that you're struggling with and praying specifically for you and for your need. Prayer is an important part of seeing the help that comes from the Lord, because he answers prayer. He hears us when we cry out, and he holds us in his hand. Where does your help come from? What is it that you are reaching out to? This psalm is a song that reminds us that shared burdens are lighter. And I just encourage that you recognize that all of our help comes from the Lord. But how does he help? Well, first of all, God helps us in those things we can't do for ourselves, for sure. The things that none of us can do. The reality is that every one of us here this morning have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the reality is, there was nothing we could do about it. The sin that separated us from God could only be taken away by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And He was willing to come and pay that price for us. He was willing to live here amongst us as a human being and become the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So God does for us certainly what we cannot do for ourselves, first and foremost. But He also joins with us and helps us in our troubles and in our infirmities when we reach out to Him, when we cry out to Him, especially as His children. Because not only did He send His Son, Jesus Christ, when Christ ascended to the Father, He sent another helper to be with us, the Holy Spirit, who comes and lives in each one of us when we are born again into the family of God, in the kingdom of God. So we have a helper who is with us at all times. And we have the Word of God that gives us His wisdom. But there's another way that God helps us in our infirmities, and I want you to turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians, very short passage of Scripture, but a very important one. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. God is the source of all help, and He is also the source of all comfort. But this passage of Scripture gives us encouragement and a challenge. And this is what I would say to you this morning. Don't waste your suffering. Don't waste your suffering. Whatever you are going through, whatever God has brought you through in the past, was preparation for ministry. When you were born again into the family of God, you became a member of His body, His church. You were gifted. Each one of us is not only a child of God, we are a gifted child of God. And the gift that He gave you was a gift for ministry to your brothers and sisters. Each one of you has a special gift. Every one of you is a priest of God, a minister of God to one another. And we came together this morning to worship God and to be reminded of all the great things and the wonderful things that God has done for us. We come together to pray. We come together to share in the Word of God. We come together for communion where we remember what Jesus did for us. But we also come together to minister to one another, to build one another up. Each of those gifts is designed and made for the purpose of helping each one of us become more and more like our Savior Jesus Christ. We are born again as babies in Christ, but with one another's help and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, we grow up to be mature and like Jesus more and more every day. So whatever it is that God has brought you through, He has brought you through it to minister, because there are, you know, this week I found out there are 8 billion people in the world. 8 billion people. Odds are pretty good. Whatever you've gone through, somebody else is going through it too. Odds are somebody else is going through it right here, or will go through it. Or somebody is here that's already been through what you're going through. And each one of us has the opportunity to love one another deeply from the heart and use the gifting that God has given us and the deliverance that God has given us, the comfort that God has given us, to comfort one another in the body of Christ. going to give you a personal example. I lost my mother recently. My mother was 92 years old. We've been praying for some time for my mom to go home and be with the Lord. And God answered that prayer. Mom was 92. Clarence, 91, was her primary caregiver. Now, my family, we're mountain people, and my mom and dad, Clarence, seventh grade, fifth, sixth, seventh grade education was all they had. But he had a master's degree in love. Clarence loved my mama and took care of her for years, hand and foot, waiting on her. And sometimes she was difficult. You know, she was a Christian lady, but, you know, when the mind starts to go and dementia sets in, we say and do things we'd never have done, especially not the people we love. But Clarence was faithful. Clarence was there day and night taking care of my mom and dad. Clarence would say oftentimes, "I'm only living for your mom. When mom goes, I'm out of here. I'm dying too." And I said, "No, Clarence, I don't think so. I think God's preparing you for ministry." Clarence is part of a congregation in Virginia that is made up largely of older people, and there are an awful lot of widows in that church. And I told Clarence, I said, "You know, when mom is gone, down at CCW, we have care groups, and one of those care groups is a widow's group, and one of them is a grief share group. You need to start a group like that at West Waynesboro." And he blew me off until after mom's death, and then he was thinking about that. And in fact, he got a widow's group started. There's 10, 12, 15 of them that now get together once a month, have dinner, you know, go out to eat and whatnot. He said, "Well, I got it started, but I can't run it." So he handed it off to a couple of younger widow and a younger widower in that group that is running that. But it was Clarence that got it started. The other thing that happened during my mama's death is we brought hospice in. And the hospice care people were really amazed at the job that Clarence was doing for Mama. And so they asked him if he would come and speak to the hospice group. And Clarence told me, he said, "You know, your mom always told me that I talk too much. But I've really not been very bold about talking about Jesus. But that's changed." Clarence goes and speaks to the hospice group, and people come afterwards and talk to him, and they say, "How do you do that? You know, how did you do that?" And he said, "Jesus. You need Jesus in your life. You need to pray. You need to find God. That's where the strength, that's where the help comes from." Just like that psalm says that we're looking at today. That's where our help comes from. Ann Topping really is a hero to me in this church, and I thank God that she came here, I don't know, 15 years ago, maybe more. And when she came, Dave Pardue and the elders approached Ann about coming on and setting up what we now call Cornerstone, which is a peer counseling, peer ministry, peer discipling, a peer group. A mentoring group. And I'll tell you how special Ann is. Ann is a professional counselor. That was her career. That's what she did for a living. When she came on, she dropped all of her credentials. She gave up all of that in order to protect this church from any kind of liability. So she let go of her credentialing. And she came on staff for that. For zero. That's why she's been kind of hard to replace. You don't find people that do that. So Ann came on, and first of all, she's been spent 15, 20 hours a week in one-on-one counseling with anybody that needed that for free. But Ann was very much aware of the power of groups. And so, and that's common in all counseling, that they try to move you from one-on-one counseling into a support group of people who are going through the same kind of thing that you're going through. So Ann set up Cornerstone Ministries. And here at CCW, those groups are continuing to go on. Here at CCW, we have CR, Celebrate Recovery. Celebrate Recovery, some of you don't know this, is not all about substance abuse. It's not just about alcohol and drugs. It's about any hurt, habit, or hang-up. So I'm pretty well convinced that all of you should be in CR, right? Celebrate Recovery for men and for women here in the church. We have a, thank you, Clarence, a caregivers support group. I have trouble saying that sometimes, but a support group to help people who are or who are helping other people. Ann set up a cancer care group after she actually was diagnosed with cancer. We have a Conqueror group that meets on Monday morning, which is a support group for men who are struggling with pornography and sexual issues. We have divorce care. We have First Responders and Veterans Group that meets on Saturday morning. We have Upward Bound that meets here on Friday night that Dave and Dawn McGrew have been leading for years and years. In this church, we have discipling groups, men's groups, women's discipling groups. We have Bible studies. We have care groups of every nature. The worship team is a small group, and they come together for the purpose of encouraging one another. Learning often takes place like this in rows, but healing takes place in circles. Groups of people who come together, 4, 5, 6, 8 people come together to help one another, not to fix one another, but to support one another, to help one another in their struggles. If you're not part of a discipling group, if you're not part of a men's or a women's group or a youth group, we have youth groups here also, sorry about that. We have a lot of groups here. And you need to be a part of that. You need it, but the other people in this congregation need you to be a part of that, because that's where a lot of the healing takes place. The recovery takes place in groups. There's another way that I would want to encourage you, because a lot of times we feel hesitant about, well, what do I do, you know, to help someone who's struggling with whatever emotional or spiritual or physical problems? How do I do that? What do I do? Out at the Next Step station, you can pick up these. This is two of them, but they're front and back out there. This is 59 scriptures that talk about how we are to relate to one another in the body of Christ, the one another's. You know, God knows that we need one another, and He knows that sometimes we need some help in how to need one another and how to help one another. 15 of them, I cheated a little bit, there's not really 59 different ones. 15 of them say, love one another deeply from the heart. There is something amazingly healing about real love. And love is what you do. But we love one another. We are seeking to be at peace with one another. We are devoted to one another. We honor one another above ourselves. We attempt to live in harmony with one another. We don't pass judgment on one another. We accept one another just as God, for Christ's sake, accepted us. There's 59 of them out there that I would encourage you maybe to pick up a copy of that. If there's not enough of them out there, we'll make more. But the reality is God helps us often by using people with skin on, people who can hug, people who can help, people who can listen, people who can speak the truth in love. People who just are there for one another. So whatever your hurt habit or hang up might be, there's somebody here that needs help with what you're experienced in. And there's someone here who can help you in your need. Brothers and sisters, help comes from the Lord. And it also comes from one another. Let's pray. Father God, we come into your presence with gratitude first and foremost because of who you are, because you are able. You have all power, all knowledge, all wisdom, and you know us at the core, and you love us anyway. So, Father, I just pray that you would encourage each one of us to engage in the ministry of help for one another and for ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.